We've been talking about the very volatile issue of boys and girls and the battle of the sexes, as it's called here. And our lesson number four is called The Strange Woman. The Strange Woman. Now, that's not your sister or your weird cousin. No, no. This is serious. And the Proverbs chapter 22, Proverbs chapter 20, or excuse me, chapter 2, Proverbs chapter 2 in verse 16. Proverbs 2:16. We'll start there and we'll keep going. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger, which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men, and keep the paths of the righteous. Chapter 5, verse 3. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Let me stop for a minute before we keep reading. Who wrote most of the Proverbs? Solomon. Go with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. What was Solomon's main problem? Women. And Ecclesiastes chapter 7, we'll go back to Proverbs chapter 6 in a minute. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 26. And I found more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands as bands. Who pleaseth God, whoso pleaseth God, shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands as bands. Now here's the most powerful man in the world. But apparently a woman, it seems to me, he's almost saying this personally, trapped him. Whoso pleaseth God. Now, does that mean that God just looks down and decides to be pleased with certain people? No, no. In other words, whoso is walking with God shall escape from her. Can you think of a young man that did escape from a woman like this? Joseph. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape. Because that person is walking with God, and they're close to the Lord, and they know the way of escape. The Bible tells us that he always provides a way of escape. There's no temptation that we can't escape from if we're walking with God. But the sinner, those who are not walking with God, shall be taken by her. Back in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 3. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. Lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me? I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Look with me in chapter 6 and verse number 24. Verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom, and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals, and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth in to his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. Men, do not despise the thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. For jealousy is the rage of a man, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content till thou givest many gifts. And then chapter 7, verse 5. Chapter 7 starts out, "My son, keep my words." Verse 5, "That they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot, and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me, this day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the goodman is not at home. He has gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him, and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech she caused him to yield, and with the flattering of her lips she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways, and go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death." So we're going to read here in the paragraph next to the picture of this lady sitting on this couch. In the book of Proverbs, think about it, and I already gave you the first sentence about it. This is not just about strange woman being some strange person that you think of or in jest, but the strange woman. And I think it was last summer I preached about how that unfortunately for most of us, and especially for young people, the big problem is that we're familiar with what should be strange. So we don't even know what strange is. You know, we've talked before about the blind out in the forest, the hunting blind. And the hunting blind is there to eventually snare, to kill, and to destroy some animal. But what you do is you set it up ahead of time, and you allow that creature to get used to it being there. So that after a while, the blind is no longer strange, it's familiar. And Satan has many strange blinds for us. And what happens is we get familiar with it, so we don't think of it as being a problem. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon goes to a great deal of trouble to warn his son about a particular type of girl that he calls the strange woman. With graphic detail, this wise father describes her cunning ways and warns his son not to get involved with this kind of girl. Solomon knew that involvement with such a girl would lead to a life of shame and heartache. And, of course, he knew it, if anybody did. Now, notice what it says here at the bottom. The trouble today is that many teen girls, even Christian girls, have adopted her methods. Christian teen guys are falling for it without even asking a question. I think one of the great ways of infiltrating is through media, through television, through movies, through books, romance novels, whatever it might be, but movies in general. Listen to me. I would say 99.999% of every Hollywood actress is a strange woman according to the Bible. Most every actress that I am aware of is perverted in her personal life. She is not the wife of one man. She has not been with just one man. And the more you read about Hollywood, the more you find out that that is the promiscuous way of getting to the top. Okay? It's filth. It's garbage. It's raunch. There may be an exception in the old days, but there's hardly one that I can think of now and even care to try to think of. But we know this for a fact. And so let me just help you understand something. So as soon as you watch a modern day Hollywood movie, you are familiarizing yourself with a literal strange woman who is acting out a part. Okay? And understand that by itself. Let's keep going. we've already read the passages here. In these several chapters, Solomon describes the character and tactics of the strange woman and the danger of falling into her trap. Number one, the morals of the strange woman. Her morals are sensual or sexual. That's her morals. Her thought life regarding boys is dominated by these desires. I remember, I think it was, we were still in the old building of our church, and Miss Wilma had a junior church or anchor club class, and Caleb was maybe fourth or fifth grade, and there was a girl in there that was probably seventh grade, and she was, for lack of a better term, hitting on Caleb and trying to get Caleb's attention. And Miss Wilma was, of course, telling her to just knock it off, or mind her own business. And of course, Caleb fortunately had no idea or interest in what that girl was interested in. But all joking aside, or rolling our eyeballs aside, how sad that the girl that age is already even thinking that, okay? And is so desperate that she's even looking for younger ones, okay? Her thought life. Listen, I don't even think I know this. But there are young people today who are exposed to so much pornography and so much garbage, and it's in their minds that they can't help but think about it. I drive a school bus. There are young people. There's girls and boys, but especially girls. And you just, they talk. They have no idea the danger of this subject. They haven't been burned with it yet. They've been mentally scarred, but they haven't been physically burned with it yet. But they have no idea the potency of what they're even, the knowledge that they have. It's just raunch. And so her thought life is dominated by this. If she's constant, and this is why our daughter, we just never had romance novels. We never did a lot of that kind of thing. We never had any, I mean, maybe Anne of Green Gables, something like that. But we never had like, you know, this junk that you're seeing all the time, written by who knows who, and acted out and portrayed by unsaved people, and written and performed by such. She likes to look at boys from a physical, and I think the word should be perspective, not prospective, but either one will work. And that's how she thinks. She just thinks in a sensual, carnal way. Okay? That's what matters. Her morals are sexual. Her morals are selfish. Personal satisfaction is her primary interest. She bases her relationship with a guy on what she can gain from him. She will take advantage of a young man's weaknesses. And young men and old men have weaknesses. And we've read some passages that illustrate some of those weaknesses. And there in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 7 and 8, it says, And beheld among the simple ones, and as you turn the page, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. How many of you know what I mean when you say you can just tell when the certain someone has set their eyes on someone else? The Bible says that in Genesis 39 that Potiphar's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. In other words, that was their goal. That was their pursuit. And you could just see it in the eyes and the body language and the behavior. And they take advantage of the young men, the youths, young man, void of understanding. Verse 22 of chapter 7, he goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Listen up, teen boy. By the way, this is not just about girls. This is for girls and guys together. She will try to manipulate you and make you like her using different tactics and strategies. He said, come on, it's not that bad. Years ago, I was driving a school bus for the wrestling team. Wrestling is so exciting for me that I could sleep all day watching it. I just don't enjoy it. I mean, it's just, and anyhow, I ended up driving, I think this was years ago. We went all the way to Winter. And I sat in the bleachers in the Winter High School, bored to tears. But while I was sitting there, and I was on the bus, and I think I was in bleachers, and just sitting there, you know, and I'd get up and move every couple hours so I wouldn't get rigor mortis. And I had come across this magazine. It was like a young teen magazine, you know, and it was just laying out there. I mean, they just, kids had it with them. And And it was, you know, this teen girl magazine or whatever. And I opened it up, and there was an article in there about how to catch a guy. And I was married, and I began to read, and I mean, they were talking about just sensual things that you can do, little things that you can do to try to spark that attraction. I remember one thing in particular. You know, you can purposely lean over him and allow your hair to brush across his shoulder or his, you know, his ear or something like that. I mean, stuff like that. This was being taught in the magazine. Okay. Listen. Don't kid yourself. There's a lot more junk I read that I'm not going to tell you about. But she will try to manipulate you and use that physical connection and that attraction. Okay. Now, are guys like this too? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Proverbs talks about that. We've talked about it before. We'll talk about it again. Her morals, let her see, are not spiritual. That's the bottom line. It's just all sensual. It's carnal. Chapter 2, verse 17. Which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. There are young women out there who are doubly dangerous because they have some information. They grew up maybe in a Sunday school class and they've learned some things, so they heard some things. And so they're doubly dangerous because they know stuff and yet they're going in the opposite direction. God's word is not her pattern. She lives according to the values of the world. But if necessary, she'll put on a spiritual act to get what she wants. That's why I say they're so dangerous. They know how to play the game and say the right words and act the act. They know what flies and doesn't fly. We just got back from a teen retreat, and I can tell you this: I did not see a lot of this. It was a very small group, and that's great. But I'll tell you what: most every time there's any kind of a gathering of young people of any sorts, it doesn't take long before you start to recognize the certain ones that have some of this in there. God's will is not her purpose. She's not looking for the young man that God has prepared for her. No, she's hunting for someone herself. She's not waiting on God to show her the right one. She is aggressive. All right. Secondly, the methods of the strange woman. Now, remember, let me stop here and say this. There are Christians. We said it on page one. There are Christian girls who have adopted some of these strange woman methods. This does not mean that you're not a Christian if you have some of this. You just might have some bad stuff and bad thinking and bad behavior that needs to get straightened out. Or you have a daughter or a granddaughter that needs to be warned, or you need to be warned about this. The methods. Remember, the strange woman starts out as a strange girl. It starts young. She's a smooth talker. Chapter 5, verse 3. The lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Chapter 7, 21. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. Her letters. Now, this is a little dated, so I'm going to say her texts. Her messages. Her Instagram, whatever it is, are filled with the things you like to hear. She's unstable and unreliable. Chapter 5, verse 6, lest thou shouldst ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. She likes to touch and embrace. Verse 20 of chapter 5, why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? She flatters you. Chapter 2, verse 16. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. 6:24. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of the strange woman. 7:5. That they may keep thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Oh, you have such big muscles. Oh, you have such beautiful, thick hair. That would have get me right there. She flatters you. She'll flatter you with her words and her texts as long as she has a need for you. She uses her eyes. Chapter 6, verse 25. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. I am not saying that makeup is wrong, but what area gets a lot of makeup? Especially young girls. They usually really darken the eyes, don't they? And usually overdo it. Uses her eyes to snare. She pursues or hunts for boys. Chapter 6, verse 26. It says, "For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life." The strange girl will take, listen to this, this is, the strange girl will take the lead in a relationship. Let me tell you, that should be a huge red flag. It should be a huge red flag. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian girl, not a Christian girl. If you're in the lead, you're just starting off on the wrong foot. You're starting the whole thing off wrong. You should be able to go back and remember the day that he proposed to you, not the other way around. You should go back and remember the day that he noticed you and that your godly, chaste, modest, quiet, meek spirit attracted him. Not your eyes, not your flirting and your flattery, but simply the meekness and the quietness and the godly patience that you... See, the godly young lady will patiently wait for God's timing and God's man. And those who, when they take the lead in the relationship, listen, you're already... Why? Because sooner or later, guess who's supposed to take the lead? Right? So it's just, you're, and here's the thing. You're not secure when you do that. If you're a lady, you're not secure when you don't take the lead in the relationship. Because it's not your job. It's not your role. And there's just that lack of security when you take the lead. And there's a lack of security on his part too, I'm sure. But that's what happens. She takes the lead. And young men, if nothing else, you should be turned off by a young lady who thinks that they're supposed to be the leader and that they're supposed to take the lead. Now, I said before, you can be married to a strong-headed woman, but you just got to be stronger and be the leader, not her. All right, third page. The strange girl is easy for a guy to spot, or at least she should be obvious. She should be easy to spot. How many of you remember hearing me say this? I know you do. When I saw Miss Wilma, I recognized her because I had been reading what? Proverbs. Hey, guess what? When I see a strange woman, I recognize her because I read Proverbs. It goes both ways. There are women, there are young women in my young years where my flesh, ooh, interesting. But my spirit said, that's the Proverbs strange woman. You've been reading about her, too. That's why Proverbs is so good. Because Proverbs tells you the right kind of woman. And Proverbs tells you the wrong kind of woman. And guy, and on and on. And, whoa. That young lady reminds me of some stuff I read in Proverbs. You see her at school, youth camps, retreats, other places where teens gather. But wherever she goes, she has her radar on. You may recognize her by some of the following. She'll call you on the phone. She'll ask for your address before you have a chance to ask for hers. And the old days, that wasn't the case. Ladies didn't ask men out or ask for their address. She will invite herself to sit with you. In fact, she does not mind sitting with a group of boys. She may ask you if you want to go with her. She'll have other girls bring information to you about herself and how crazy she is about you. She never consults, and listen, this is very important. She never consults her parents or youth leaders before starting a relationship with you. She may consult another rebel that she can trust to give her the advice she wants to hear. That is huge. Before any young lady begins any kind of serious communication with a young man, or even any kind of communication, really, that young lady, the first man in every young lady's life is the dad. The first person to say, "I do," at a wedding is the dad. The dad's the first one to say, "I do." The first man she has is her father. The only other man she should ever eventually have is her husband, her future husband. And unless the father's giving the blessing and she is submissive and it's not, "Oh, by the way, Dad, I found myself a boyfriend. Here he is." It should be, "Hey, Dad, so-and-so guy asked me if I could, if he could communicate with me, or if he could be my boyfriend, or if he could take me on a date. What do you think, Dad? What do you think about this? Before the relationship starts, not after the relationship is built. My daughter has a friend that is a boy, and his name is Trey, and he wears Trey shoes. And he met us, we met him on a vacation, and a year and 2 months after that vacation, he contacted her for my information, and then asked, would it be okay if I communicate with your daughter? Dude, I hardly even remember you. I do remember you, but it's been over a year. Well, so what's all, 14 months later, what's this all about? Oh, well, I noticed your daughter right away. But when I went home, I told my youth pastor, my dad's in prison. I confided in my youth pastor. I confided in my pastor. And my youth pastor said, just put her out of your head. You got one more year of high school. Don't even think twice about it. And listen, does that automatically mean that that's the guy for Hannah? No, but that's respectable. That's very safe. It's very respectable, very comfortable, very within the boundaries of what the Bible says. Okay? Every young lady needs to be under a man, and young men need to follow the advice that they've been given and who they've been given, who their leaders are spiritually. Father, husband. A young lady needs either a father to guide her or then a husband to guide her. And she should have one or the other all of her life. Okay? By the way, see where the breakdown in all this is? You know why there's so many strange girls out there? Because there's no dad. He's not paying attention. He's not where he ought to be. And she's growing up without him. And she's growing up learning and getting advice from other people and not recognizing where it needs to come from. And on we can go about that. This is a lot of times, this is an inherited situation that she's not even aware she is because someone didn't watch over her like they should have. G, she searches out your innocence. Proverbs 7, verse 7. I beheld among the simple ones. I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. He looks like an easy target. She'll use what you do not know or may not suspect to manipulate and control you. If you have weaknesses, she'll find it. And that's why the inadvertent physical contact that they even teach now. This is before the days of Facebook when I found that magazine. I don't even know what they got going on now. And teaching and suggesting ways to manipulate the boy and get him turned on, as they say. Okay, this is real stuff here. And I'm just trying to teach you guys about the enemy. I'm not talking about the girl note so much as I am Satan. All right? She'll use that to manipulate. That's what enemies do. They manipulate. If you have weaknesses, they'll expose them. That's what they do. H, she likes to hang out where she can meet guys. Chapter 7, 5, the stranger, the strange woman. She's watching. She's observing. She's hanging out where she might find one. I, she dresses and conducts herself immodestly. Verse 10. Behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. Every boy in here should have a somewhat understanding of what is immodest attire. You should have a basic knowledge of what is not proper dress and conduct. Why? So that you can recognize when you're seeing it and when you need to turn away from it and not be affected by it. When I was first grade, second grade, there's this really cool TV show. It came on Friday nights. I didn't have a TV at my house, but my friend did. And once in a while, I'd be at my friend's house, and we'd be watching this thing. And it starts out with this banjo playing, and there was this orange car with a General Lee painted on the top, and they fly through the air. And, I mean, it was cool, man. But they had this Daisy Duke. Now, that's first grade. So Daisy Duke didn't turn me on in first grade. Listen, I can't watch, I won't watch Daisy Duke. I won't watch Dukes of Hazzard. I won't let my kids watch it. Not because I don't like the cool things that were on that TV show and funny stuff, but Daisy Duke. And, you know, Daisy Duke, I mean, her real act, the real actress, she was quite a mess herself. But listen, when you familiarize yourself with that type of person, okay, and you say, this is okay, then that means that, and so then when the girls say, wow, guys really like, I want to dress like Daisy Duke, because guys notice her. And if nobody says, it's wrong, don't do it, don't act like that, then the guys and the girls, pretty soon it's not strange. But it is strange. I don't think there's any question that was back in the early 80s. I don't think there's any question that kind of attire wasn't just accidental. It was part of a purpose. Listen, she dresses and conducts herself immodestly. You don't want to be attached to that. If you have a wife, you don't want her to walk around looking like that. For yourself at home, when you're married, but not out in public. Absolutely. She wears things, does things to call attention to her body. She's a flirt. Okay? Listen, girls are taught to do this. They are encouraged to do this. They are told that this is the power they have over men and they need to use it. It says in verse 11, chapter 7, 11, she's loud and stubborn. Her feet abide on her house, boisterous, loud. She likes to stay away from home. Notice what it says in chapter 11, or chapter 7, verse 11. She's loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. She should either be in her father's home under his watchful eye. I'm not saying 24/7 in the house. Or in her husband's home. She shouldn't be out running around doing what she's doing. She likes to stay away from home and authority as much as possible. She's restless. My daughter is not the poster child for all things perfect. But I'm thankful that after high school, she was very content to just hang around and do her thing until it's time for the Lord to show her something to do. She's not in a hurry. Okay? L, she likes to touch you or kiss you. Verse 13. So she caught him and kissed him. She likes that. Touching, kissing. 1 Corinthians 7:1 says it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Guys, you should feel very uncomfortable if a female touches you and wants to touch you. A strange girl can't keep her hands to herself. Illustration. Susan held Barry's arm as she talked. Every time she passed, she would touch his shoulder or pat him on the back. Do you see the way she hangs on me? Barry told Sean. She's crazy about me. She's not crazy about you, man, replied Sean. She does that to a lot of different guys. I hate to disappoint you, man, but she even does it with me. Feels good, that physical contact. There's a reason why the Bible talks about it. I mean, God designed us to like it. Trust me. After you get married, it's fun. It's a pleasure. But beforehand, it's potent danger. She's aggressive. She goes after boys. In other words, she is boy crazy. Verse 13 again. She caught him. She caught him. Kissed him with an impudent face, said unto him. Impudent. I looked that up. Webster's 18:28. Shameless face. A wanting of modesty face. A bold face. A saucy face. She's impudent in her face. By the way, a shameless face, a face that wants in modesty, a bold or saucy face, that's pretty much every Hollywood actress out there. In fact, that's the cool girl today. That bold face. Not modest face. She may make she may make sexual insinuations or suggestions to you. Boy, that ought to be huge danger, a huge alarm. She's talking like that. She has that kind of a mind, and she's not afraid to even say it with her mouth. You ought to just run from that. She is forward and pursuing. She takes a light view of sex and immorality. You know why that is? She's been desensitized. That blind, she has been desensitized to it, and she's drawing you into it. I'm not done talking about that yet. She takes a light view because she's been desensitized. Her desensitivity of that subject. And she, oh, it's not a big deal. Come on, that's just the old square, old-fashioned church people talking like that. TV and movies have trained her to think it's no big deal. Some girls are this way because of abuse in their own lives. There are young ladies who were abused as young ladies, and so as they grow up, they're desensitized to it being a problem like it really is, her experiences, etc. Beware of that young person, boy or girl, who is not sensitive to this stuff. On the page 4, oh, she will tell you that you are the only one. Verse 15, she said, therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. Truth is, you're just the first one that came along. But she'll make it sound like I was looking for you. P, she rejects authority and slips around secretly. Verse 19, she says, the good man's not at home. My husband's not at home. He's gone on a long journey. We can do what we want. Hey, if a young lady is sneaking around with her parents, she'll sneak around with you someday. Get it. Hello. Recognize it. Okay? Then thirdly, the misery of the strange woman. Young men, be warned. The path of the strange woman is filled with danger and misery. The misery, A, of losing what you can never get back and living a life of regret and haunting memories. Chapter 2, verse 18 and 19. For her house inclineth unto death, her paths unto the dead. None that go into her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. Heard a story, I don't remember the details, that's not so important, but heard a story that made me just shiver and chill to my bone, you know. Some guy met this lady in Las Vegas. And, of course, she was very flirtatious and acted like he was just the prize find of her life. Ended up, she convinced him that she was just head over heels, and they ended up in a hotel room in Las Vegas. And he woke up in the bathtub, laying in ice, with a sign written on the bathtub wall saying, we've taken one of your kidneys. The phone is right here. Call 911. She set him up. She worked for some group that steals body organs and then sells them on the black market. Seduced him. He woke up without one of his organs. He said, does that disgust you? I hope so. And I hope it causes you to always think. Listen, they use this stuff to sell anything. And the Bible is not a liar. Haunting memories. The misery of life of heartache and bitterness. Chapter 5, verse 4. But her end is as bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. It's interesting, the Bible is called a two-edged sword, and the thought of not listening to the Bible causes you to suffer from what she can do. And then the misery of spiritual disaster and the loss of your testimony. 5:5, her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. The misery of losing your honor, 5:9, lest thou give thine honor unto others and thy years to the cruel. 6:33, A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. 7:26. For she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Can you think of a strong man that was slain by a woman? The misery of having wasted your youth and its innocent joy. 5:9. Lest thou give thine honor to others and thy years unto the cruel. The misery of poverty and financial ruin. 5:10. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. I do not have any of them memorized, but I have heard country music songs and other songs on the radio talking about, that's my house. That should be my car. But some other guy has it now. That's my Harley that someone else is riding. Because of adultery and divorce and all that. And then, the misery of disease and physical ruin. Verse 11. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. I didn't even really talk about STDs. But we know that there's also physical diseases that come from being promiscuous and whatnot. When thy flesh and thy body are consumed. 7:23. Till a dart strike through his liver. As a bird hasteth to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. So, here's some questions, and I want to go through these questions. And this is good for us to ask. Girls, first. Guys, second. Girls, do you call young men on the phone? Do you wear tight or immodest clothing? Do you go after guys or collect addresses when you go to camp or retreat? Have you ever written or texted to a young man that you would not want his parents to see what you wrote? Do you often find yourself touching young men? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you are behaving like this strange woman described in Proverbs. Teen girl, if you are not that kind of girl, then why resort to the same methods and tactics that she uses? Christian girl, don't stoop to the world's methods and expect to get God's best. Don't play the world's game and expect to get God's reward. Remember, God's way may not have all the guys drooling over you, and that's what we want. That's what our flesh wants. We want to be the popular one. God's way may not have all the guys drooling over you, but it will one day lead you to the man of your dreams. Boys, has a girl ever called you on the phone to talk to you? Have you ever been fond of a girl who your parents did not completely approve of? You know that they wouldn't approve, but fond of a girl. Years ago, I'm a pastor. I've been a pastor for a couple decades now, and somewhere in my past, there was some young men from our church, and they were in a public school setting, and a teacher at the public school who does not go to our church and probably is not even a Christian said, "Hey, you have a girlfriend?" "Yeah, I like so-and-so." "Oh, she's a nice girl. I know her." "You have a girlfriend?" "Nope." "How about you?" "No." "How about you?" "Yeah." "Well, who do you have?" "Oh, I have." "She'll teach you some things." Now, that's a public school teacher saying that to a Christian kid. "She'll teach you some things." How come she knows better than the boy or the boy's parents? Ask yourself some questions. Do you know a girl who is boy crazy? Has a girl ever written you or texted you which you would not want your mother to get a hold of? Is there any text on your phone from a girl or Instagram or whatever it might be that you wouldn't want your mom or your dad to see what they sent you? If you answered yes to any of those questions, there's a good chance that you have encountered a strange girl who may one day end up being a strange woman. Guys, better look at what is behind that pretty face. And that figure, and that sweet walk and talk. Don't fall for that. Don't risk it. Wait on a sharp Christian girl who will respect you as a young man and honor your Christian convictions. If you don't have any clear convictions in this area, then get some today. Now, for those of us who have a little more gray hair or balding, a little more experience, what's the biggest problem of a guy falling for this type of girl? What's the biggest, what's the long-term problem? Even if they get married, what's the long-term problem? How can you trust her down the road? How can you trust her wandering eye down the road, and vice versa? How can you trust his wandering eye down the road? If you caught him that way, you're probably going to have to try to keep him that way. And as you get older, that physical attraction's not going to be there like it was. That's why it's so insecure. The whole thing's just filled with insecurity. I have the security of knowing that Miss Wilma was never infatuated with my beautiful golden wavy hair. I am so secure in that fact. Very secure. Nor did my biceps turn her on. Thank goodness. Because they're not much anymore. It's so important that we understand what really God wants us to look at. The inward, not the outward. And this is what the world does. This is all they know to do. This is what they think is going to attract. This is what they think love is. They don't understand. And if you come across someone like this, they might be innocently just doing what they've been taught. You know? These young ladies that were in church this morning, they need to hear this. You know why? Because they're getting bombarded with the other side already at the age they're at right now. Already. And so they need to hear it very soon. And they need to be warned. And then they need some good examples. They need some good examples that they can follow and see Miss Hannah, see how she's doing it, and hopefully Miss Hannah's a good example, you know, that they can follow and look up to and whatnot, and vice versa for guys. I mean, we need to exemplify the right way to do it and then teach them. Here's what God's word says. Follow it, follow it, follow it. I know some young ladies, they're in their late 20s now. They just couldn't see it this way. I mean, everything in their world was the way of the strange woman. And I know now, in their late 20s, they know. They should have listened. And it's not the end of the world for them. But when they finally do get married, it won't be guy number one. You know what I mean? And guys, watch out. Young ladies, watch out. Mom and dads, grandma and grandpas, watch out. And be concerned and pull someone aside and say, hey, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you not because I'm perfect, but because if I was your age, I'd love to go back and do it over again. But listen to what the Bible says and watch out and be aware of what's really happening here. And warn them. And don't be so naive to think that people in Hollywood, first of all, are even Christians. Secondly, have any concept of biblical value. And they know what is popular and they know what will make them money. Watch out for it. Be aware of it. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for its warning, its guide. It's written to us with love. Help us, Lord. Thank you that there are some strange women in the Bible who got saved. But once they got saved, of course, they were different after that. But help us to be aware that these things are real. This issue happens. And help us to be on guard, both men and women, both young men and young women. And be wary. And be eyes wide open. And be filled with wisdom and discernment and humility and patience. And may we live a different Christ-like example than the world is leading. And even a lot of Christian people are following. Help us to do the right thing and follow you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's have the teenagers stay in here and adults. Yes, sir.